Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 25th of June. We're going to be talking about the cost of higher education here in the state of Wisconsin. We'll look at public education and find out how much financial aid is available to students these days. For the students who enroll, how many are in need of financial aid, those who are offered financial aid. Nationwide, the median tuition at a four-year school last year was $7,490, which is a 2.3% increase over a year ago. This is according to the Chronicle of Higher Education. That includes many state-run universities where in-state residents are charged a whole lot of money. Although some of you may argue with that and say still in-state is quite a bit of money. The median tuition at private schools was more than twice that amount, weighing in at $15,900, and that's up 3.4% over a year ago. And that doesn't come close to the nation's most expensive colleges, 121 of them charging more than $30,000 this past year. And if you add room and board, we're way beyond $40,000 for a year at school. We're going to be talking about schools. We'll be looking at the public sector this hour of our program and talk with financial aid officers to find out what is available in terms of financial aid, how many students are eligible, what the sources are for financial aid, and we'll be welcoming your phone calls as well. We have two guests with us. Carol Miller is with us, Director of Financial Aid at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Carol has had that position for quite some time now. Carol, thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. It's very nice to be with you.
And also joining us is Susan Fisher, who's Director of Financial Aid at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Hello, Susan. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. My pleasure.
Yeah, real nice to have you. Our number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Same question to both of you. Let's start with you, Carol. How many applicants at UW-Whitewater are in need of financial aid?
Well, we generally say about 65% of our students, and we have a population of about 10,500 students. And so we generally, between 65 and 70%, get some kind of financial aid.
What about UW-Madison, Susan?
UW-Madison, we're talking about 45% of our population, so we're, for the undergraduate portion, I'm sort of flipping through my little data digest here, we're talking probably closer to 8 or 9,000 undergrads, but a total of probably about 20,000 students altogether receiving some form of aid, be it loan, work, or grant.
Mm-hmm. And what are you hearing? This is purely anecdotal, but what are you hearing from students and from families when it comes to the cost? Does everybody still feel like they're getting a pretty good deal here with public education at Whitewater and Madison?
Well, this is Carol. I would say that many of our parents are beginning to really feel it in the pocketbook.
Mm.
Even the middle income families, especially those students who are not eligible for any grants because the family has too high of adjusted gross income. I'm thinking that a lot of our parents are really feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you agree?
Well, in Madison, it's interesting. We hear different things from different groups. For the incoming students, we sure do. Our non-resident population pays much more than our in-state students. And so Madison still, in the Big Ten, we're the second lowest cost in the Big Ten. And so from that perspective, I think people do see us as a real value. But, where the rubber hits the road when parents are writing the check, I think it is, as Carol said, somewhat painful. Where we're hearing that is a really good deal, actually, from our alums who live out of state now, who look back and say, well, we think that, for what you received in the way of an education, the price is good. But I'd have to agree with Carol that the incoming students, especially the undergrads, the parents are feeling the squeeze.
Right. Are both of you seeing a shift? I was citing some of the statistics at the private schools where you can pay over $50,000 a year for room and board and tuition. Is that so much out of the reach, do you think, of a lot of families that they are instead going to public schools in state? Carol?
I would say, from my knowledge, I don't know a whole lot about the private sector, but I'm thinking that the private schools generally have their own funds that they can recruit students to their schools. And so what we're seeing is if a student is deciding, let's say, between Whitewater and a private school, generally the family is going to have to pay about the same no matter where the student ends up, mm-hmm. because the private school has endowment funds, and mm-hmm. they can come up with more private institutional funds than certainly we can at Whitewater.
Mm-hmm.
And I, Carol, Susan here, I'd have to agree that usually what I tell parents, I think it's pretty on, is that just all program aside, you know, I mean, you're really, it's about the education, not about the money necessarily, but program being equal, the best financial bet usually is an in-state public, and the next bet is probably a private anywhere. And then probably the worst financial thing a parent and student can do is go out of state to a public institution, which does not have the resources to fund a non-resident student.
Mm-hmm.
The,
good point, Susan.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the private schools actually do a fairly phenomenal job of making sure their students are able to attend.
Yeah. Both of you cited very high percentages of the number of students who are in need of financial aid. What kind of sources do you have to secure them financial aid, and are those sources sufficient? Carol?
Well, we certainly have federal funds, and Madison and Whitewater would be the same on this. We have federal funds, and we also have state funds. Whitewater would have some institutional money for scholarships, although that is not nearly as large a funding source as we would like it. And we certainly have grants from the federal and state government, and we have loans from the federal government, and also the work program, Work Study.
Mm-hmm.
Your question about how many, being surprised at the high percentages, I think the part of what's going on here too, Kathleen, is that there's a big portion of the federal aid program is an unsubsidized loan, the old Guaranteed Student Loan Program, Stafford loans, whether it's direct or through banks. They're unsubsidized and available to any student, whether or not they show financial need.
Mm-hmm.
So we have almost 10,000 people, students on this campus receiving that loan. Their parents could have substantial amounts of resources, and the student might also, but they still qualify for this loan, so they fall into that equation.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not be needy, but they still qualify for some form of assistance, although it's not subsidized by the government.
I see. And what about this old, you brought up Work Study. That's what I did when I was in college, and it was a huge program that, of course, was many years ago. Is it still a big deal, or do you not have very many funds for Work Study?
I would like to answer that first, because we at Whitewater are kind of low on the totem pole with Work Study funds. Unfortunately, we get not even $700,000 per year.
Mm.
It's less than that. And currently we have probably, each year we probably have under 600 students on the program. And we have so many more students that want to work, and it's good for them to work.
Sure.
You know, studies have indicated that. And we, unfortunately, just do not get enough money from the federal government.
Hmm.
In Madison, we have we receive about $5 million, which, you know, is a lot, but it's not a lot given the size of the
right.
school. And that's matched by $5 million from the employers, you know, who hire those students. So, but we have about between 4,000 and 5,000 students a year on work study. We could use more, too. I mean, Carol, this should be ideally a very robust program, and it just doesn't get the funding.
Yes, it should. And it's very unfortunate because, you know, whenever we have a summer preview for new students coming in, or an on-campus day, you know, for prospective students coming in, they all want to know about student employment. And we get more questions about student employment, I think, than we do on other financial aid. And unfortunately, we just don't have good news for them.
Hmm. Well, and these students are used to working. So many of them are
absolutely
are working in high school even, right?
Sure.
Hmm. Yeah. What about scholarships that are available? If you are a really good student and you've tested very well, are there a lot of scholarships and perhaps scholarships that have gone unnoticed by students?
Take it, Carol.
Well, I was just looking for something on my desk here. At Whitewater, we have scholarships that we can offer students. The student has, it's based strictly on merit. And the student has to have had a very good high school record, not only the GPA in high school, but the class rank and also the ACT scores.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I'll run across a student, let's say, with a 27 or a 28 ACT, which we feel is very good and certainly is deserving of a scholarship, but because of their class rank or something else, they're not quite there to get the scholarship. So it's kind of disheartening in that regard. But many, many of our students and parents, when they come in, that's one of the things that they do ask about always, and
yes.
That is, what are the scholarship possibilities? Well, when you're looking at a B or C student or whatever, the chances are not realistic that they're going to get something from our school.
Mm-hmm.
At Madison, we have been fortunate to have really outstanding freshman classes coming in, and so everyone is meritorious, and that makes, you know, the scholarships
sure.
even more competitive. Actually, for the incoming freshmen, the school itself does not provide much in the way of incoming scholarships. Most of our students bring them from the outside, and
mm-hmm.
so I had to say for freshmen and sophomore years, the bulk of scholarships that students are receiving come from Rotary clubs and
right.
churches and schools
right.
and places like that. And it's not until students declare a major and get in the department that they're really in competition for any of the serious scholarship funds on this campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, my word to students and prospectives out there would be that they should start looking for outside scholarships their junior year in high school.
Yeah. So where do you find those? Do you all have information in your offices about this, or is there some little-known book on unknown scholarships that you should know about?
Go ahead, Susan.
FastWeb is a website. It's just, if you do fastweb.com, it's a free search engine, and you load in a profile of yourself, your background, your parents. You have to subject yourself to a little bit of advertising, you know, that comes along.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. You don't pay money, and we really discourage, you know, students from ever, you know, signing up with somebody who guarantees scholarships. That's almost always a scam.
Mm-hmm.
I think the myth that scholarships go unclaimed comes really. It's an old myth that's been going around for years, and the scholarship coordinator in our office says that the origin of that is parents who were employers who have money for children of their employees, and the kids don't go on to college, that money goes unused because it's only for mm-hmm. you know, that company's children. But as a rule, I don't find there's large pots of money sitting around unused, certainly not on our campus. Carol?
And not on our campus either. And I would agree with Susan that the upper-class students, once they get into their major program of study, that's when our students see more Whitewater scholarships.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think incoming students who neglect to look until they're graduating from high school, it's just too late. I mean, they need to be looking at scholarships, applications, and applying for lots of them the October before they even start school.
Hmm. Absolutely.
We're going to welcome phone calls for both of our guests. Joining us, Carol Miller, Director of Financial Aid at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, Susan Fisher, Director of Financial Aid at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we're looking at, obviously, financial aid for going to school at both of those places, concentrating on the public sector right now, and finding out what kinds of sources are available for students who are entering. And the key component of this, too, now is you, the parents and the students who are looking at college or in college at this moment. What have you done in terms of saving for your children? What kinds of scholarships have you been able to access? What kind of financial aid do you find yourself in need of? And have you found that schools have been responsive to your financial needs? We welcome your phone calls, and all our lines are open for both Carol and Susan right now. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee number is 414-227-2050. Have you been able to secure scholarships or grants or loans or jobs? I'm all for this work-study program being expanded. It'd be great for the communities and good for students as well. We have lines open. What are you doing about college, saving for college, and accessing financial aid? To your phone calls in just one moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this time period, Judy Collins will be with us. Judy Collins, the wonderful singer, and she is the author of The Seven T's, Finding Hope and Healing in the Wake of Tragedy. She lost her son to suicide, and she has had conversations with people all over the country who have grieved the tragic death of a friend or a family member, and so she writes about healing. And we will be talking with Judy Collins during the second hour, this hour of our program tomorrow. All right, financial aid for those of you who are in college, who are thinking about going to college. Carol Miller, Director of Financial Aid at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, and Susan Fisher, Director of Financial Aid at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, are our guests, and we'll start our calls with Kay from Mukwonago. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a general question, sort of. If these people know about any scholarships that would be available to girls who have gotten the highest leadership award for Girl Scouts, which is the Gold Award, if there's anything specific for them or even anything that I could direct them to.
Very good question. I would know of nothing regarding that. How about you, Susan?
Well, actually, I'm active with the Girl Scout Council here.
And oh.
I don't... if there was one on this campus, I'd know about it.
Yeah.
And there is not. I think what I would do is promote the whole leadership and apply again for lots of scholarships and bring up that Gold Award over and over and over again.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's a real point of pride, and congratulations on your daughter.
Mm. Okay. Well, it's not my daughter.
Oh.
I just work with girls, and
excellent.
Kind of inquiring for them.
Yep. No, I think I would just play it, you know, in any... Realistically, any award specifically for Gold Award, you know, or those who earn the Gold Award would probably, frankly, come from the Girl Scout, you know, GSUSA. But I think that the leadership exhibited by a girl who receives an award like that should just be, you know, they should make that one of the centerpieces of their applications.
And so, you know, I'm thinking these girls have, I would say, you know, 3.4s or something like that for GPA, and they're in the low 20s, and they're in their ACT, and I don't know where they are in their class rank. This would kind of inject itself into all of that.
Well, the scholarships would be coming from the outside, probably not from this campus.
Mm-hmm.
There's so very few campus scholarships for incoming students that it wouldn't come into play in a UW-Madison scholarship, for example, but if they're applying for service organizations, and I would encourage them to go to FastWeb, do it their junior year in high school or even sophomore year just to see what's out there.
Okay.
And they can sort of line up their ducks then, and when the time comes, you know what they're going to go for.
Okay, FastWeb.com?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are going to hit that site today. 800-486-8655, 227-2050. Both of you have been mentioning ACT scores, class rank, leadership, et cetera. Can you break those down for us in terms of financial aid, in terms of scholarship? Are they all of equal weight?
Well, they're not. I would say at Whitewater, I would say that they would be of equal weight, but it's both of them together. And it's not one or the other generally. You know, they have to have the GPA, the class rank, and also that ACT score is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And many of our students, they will take the ACT test a second time in order to see if, in fact, they can do better.
Mm-hmm. Susan, how about Madison?
In Madison, we hardly have any scholarships, and they're not administered through my office, and so I'm not on the selection committees. But our average ACT is probably in the 30 range, and,
mm-hmm.
and people with 4 points are not unusual. So that I think looking at other activities as well as GPA and stuff like that. But there's mostly, again, the scholarships for freshmen and sophomore coming from outside, and I don't know
right.
what people be going for there.
Let's go next to Shelley from Waukesha. Hi, Shelley.
Hi there. I'm on a little bit of a different avenue as far as education. I'm an adult returning student, and so often I hear about the financial aid available for the high school students and GPA scores and whatnot. I'm wondering if there's any other opportunities for financial aid for someone such as myself who's going back to school after being out for about 10 years.
And very definitely there are some possibilities out there for returning adults. Coming back to school, I know that at Whitewater, at our school, we have a wonderful scholarship called the Hunziker Scholarship, and it's given to returning adult women who exhibit fine scholarship and a financial need. And several of these are given out each year, and they're all worth $2,000 for a full-time student.
Okay.
And that's just one that we have here. And I'm sure that, I know throughout the state I get literature on other scholarships available as well for adult women.
Would I find information on these also on that FastWeb site?
I would say so, wouldn't you, Susan?
Yeah, the FAFSA site is you know, they, it's very, I put myself in there just to see how it works, you know, and I get emails from them like two or three times a week going, hey, have you tried this one? Have you tried that one? And so I absolutely do that. And again, don't overlook your local community service clubs and churches and places, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, encouragement for returning adult students. On the Madison campus, there's a couple of, you know, single parent and returning adult scholarships, not very many. And I would encourage anyone listening to go to the website of the schools that you're interested, you know, in which you're interested in attending, and go to the financial aid sites and look under the scholarships, and you'll find a lot of the information online for specific scholarships, because there are quite a few, you know, depending on what year in school you are. But don't overlook the university you're interested in.
And once in a while, I'll get some information, too, from a certain county indicating that, you know, just for instance, Jefferson County would be offering a couple of scholarships for returning adult women.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Or, you know, just different counties. And we just keep everything in a big scholarship book here in our office. And we encourage our students and prospective students to come in and browse through it. It would be impossible for us to stay on top of every scholarship. So
sure.
I agree with Susan that you've got to get yourself hooked up, you know, to the website and do a little legwork, and you'll be glad for the results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, outstanding. Thank you very much for your help.
Yeah, thanks, Shelley, so much for your call. Let's go to Gary from Delafield next. Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, my daughter's going to be a junior in high school, and I am old enough to be on Social Security. I'm not collecting Social Security at the moment, but I am told that if I'm on Social Security, she stands a much better chance of getting financial aid.
That's new to me. I think maybe this is a Madison campus talking to you. It would depend on everything else and what other kind of income. If you're solely on Social Security and have no assets, perhaps, and things are pretty stripped down, she probably would qualify for some, you know, possibly for some grant money. But, you know, there's a pretty complicated formula that Congress has us working with and has since 1988, actually, that, you know, I couldn't guarantee it. I don't think I'd quit my day job just on that guess.
Right. Right. I'm wondering, Susan, if they might be thinking about the automatic
zero
and the student and the parent, their combined adjusted gross incomes being below a certain amount.
If it's a 1040 A or EZ. See, it's kind of complicated. If you file, you know, we have some folks who file a 1040 long form, and they might have an adjusted gross income in the negative figures, which is always interesting, and they would not qualify for this condition that Carol's talking about. You know, as a rule, it's people with money that have negative incomes. Many other folks have low incomes, but it's, to get a negative income usually involves a very large net operating loss through a business or something like that. But it could be. I know there's, Carol, I believe there's a, is there like a FAFSA on the web that you can play with and get an estimate?
What's yes, uh-huh, uh-huh.
What is that called?
Well, I would,
I'm blanking
it escapes
here.
Me at the moment.
All right, you've got some time to think about it, so don't worry about it. Are you thinking about retiring, Gary, or?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure I would, you know, hand in my letter of resignation quite yet.
Right.
And the other thing, Gary, to worry about a little bit is that Congress is reauthorizing the Higher Education Act of 1965, which is what governs financial aid. That's happening now and will continue for the next probably half year or a year. Things could change dramatically between today and when your daughter hits college.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's three basic ways you pay for a higher education. You pay before by saving, you pay during out of your employment, or you pay after by repaying loans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, it's going to fall into one of those three. I would say do everything you can to position yourself to be saving some money, have her saving some money, you know, and then going to the I think it's www.fafsa.gov, and you can get there by the FinAid.org website as well. And they have an estimator. You can go in and put your information to get a sense of what your family contribution would be.
Hmm.
That might be worth doing, but I would. It's not an automatic if you're on Social Security that you don't. That your daughter will get grants.
Well, how good are families about saving? Do most of your freshmen come in with a lot of money saved for college?
I would have to say our students do not.
Really?
A lot of them are working in high school and so forth, but a lot of them are spending all of their money on cars and other, you know, other things, clothes and that type of thing. I don't think that a lot of our students and or their parents are really thinking about college until it's almost too late to start saving. I don't know how you do, Susan, but that's the way it is here, it seems like.
Well, we have less than half of our undergraduate population darkens our doorway, and so that tells me that they're coming in with some ability to pay out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So did they save, you know, we have sufficient numbers of people who do apply for assistance who I think really are hurting. And given their income, you'd think they would have saved, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's, you know, we're in a society right now where folks are possibly spending more than they save or spending more than they earn, and that gets kind of tough. And I agree with Carol that the standard of living that some of our students wish to have looks pretty good and is probably comparable to their parents' standard of living, and financial aid surely does not take care of that.
No, right. Thanks very much for your call. We go next to Heidi from Elmhurst. Hi, Heidi. Are you there, Heidi? I'm sorry. I got the wrong line here. That should be Heidi. Hi, Heidi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I am from Amherst, and it's a small town. My kids have just graduated from high school and are going to be attending UW La Crosse, and they had very high class rank, very high ACT scores, and we were very surprised at the scholarships that were unavailable to our students because our income was too high. And we are, I would say, a moderate income. And we had, I think, saved probably not enough money, but it is going to be a huge financial strain on our family to be spending upwards of $20,000 a year.
Yeah, you have two students going?
I do. We have twin sons.
Uh-huh.
And we have been saving, but that isn't easy either when you are, you know, trying to make mortgage payments.
Sure.
That sort of thing. And we did apply for many, many scholarships.
Yeah.
And most of them were local. A few of them were for the university through UW La Crosse. But we found that most of the scholarships were based on financial need, not necessarily on the student's merit. And we were very surprised about this. My students were only given a very small amount for the Stafford loans, which we're still very grateful for those, but we will end up getting a second mortgage. And I think that there needs to be some more help out there. I think that there probably are less and less students that are going to these four-year colleges because of the cost.
Are your sons, I believe you said they were twin boys, are they going to take out loans?
Oh, they're going to have to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we will help them out as much as we can. They are going to be taking 17 credits, so there isn't a lot of time to be working.
Right.
But they did not qualify for work study, so if they were to get a job, it would need to be, you know, a campus job, and that's okay. And they have had summer jobs, but we haven't had them doing a lot of work during the school year. Instead, we really wanted them to concentrate on their grades.
Right, right.
And that was real important. They do have quite a bit of volunteer experience, and that was wonderful, and they got into every college that they applied to. But our finances really did, it excluded them from any real financial aid help.
Yeah. Carol, you want to start?
Well, I would just like to comment on a new freshman. If the only thing they're eligible for, let's say, is a Stafford loan, and new freshmen, this was just new for this year, can now receive up to $3,500 in the loan program. And certainly when you think about it, $3,500 in a loan program is not going to pay for tuition, let alone room and board. So I think that families have to keep that in mind, because I think that they're thinking that, oh, my student, you know, my son or daughter can always go out and get a loan. Well, but it's they're capped depending on what year in school they are. The freshman can get up to $3,500 in the program, the sophomore $4,500, and junior seniors $5,500. And believe me, that loan too doesn't pay for everything. So I think families really need to keep that in mind.
Susan, you have things you want to say about it?
Yeah, I do a couple things.
First of all,
good for you for raising two kids who want to go to college, you know, and did really well. I think that's fabulous. I do believe that you saved everything you could. Another option you have in addition to the second mortgage is a parent loan for undergraduate students, or it's called a PLUS loan. It's a federally backed but not subsidized loan for parents, and you could ask my colleagues at La Crosse about that program. It would basically it's a cash management tool. You go into repayment within the first year of taking it out, but it's probably manageable amounts, and so that might be a nice option other than putting your house at risk, which is always kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would encourage you to do is encourage your sons to make sure that, you know, as early as October of their freshman year, they're looking at scholarships at La Crosse and everywhere else for their sophomore year. And as soon as they declare a major, go make friends with the secretary in that department and find out what's really going on and how the process works. You know, the fact that they didn't get any, now, I mean, again, at Madison, we hardly have any incoming relative to our population. We get 5,700 freshmen a year and probably have less than a couple hundred freshman scholarships, and these are all smart, worthy kids.
Right.
So I would encourage them to not give up and assume, if I didn't get it my freshman year, I'm never going to get it. No, you keep hustling until you get out.
Mm.
And even with a 17-credit load, if they get a job on campus for, let's say, 8 hours a week in the dorm perhaps, you know, doing dishes, flipping burgers, whatever, it'll help manage their time a little and get them some spending cash. And to economize, live cheap,
right,
you know, which I'm guessing just hearing your voice that your kids already know how to do that.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go next to Mark from Janesville. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. I've got a question. I have a son who's just finished his sophomore year of high school, and he is a promising golfer, and I have no idea where to start calling or finding out what we should be doing as far as building a resume for that kind of athletic scholarship.
Hmm.
I'll let you take it, Susan. Whitewater doesn't offer athletic scholarships.
Okay.
No, you don't. And we do have some here. I'm not sure. I think we do have some golf scholarships. I would say start working with your do they have golf at his high school?
Yes, he's on the golf team.
Okay. And I'd say the first place to do is work with his coach there, who probably will know the ins and outs of NCAA, you know, athletic tenders and what schools have them and what the odds are. I wouldn't, you know, we do have a golf team here, and we do have some golf scholarships, but I am not a golfer, and I don't know what it takes to get on the team and get – I'm sure there are people on the team who are not on grants and aid, you know, that are just on the team.
Right.
So I would say that, and again, I would not overlook FastWeb. I know I'm starting like a real commercial for FastWeb.com, but he can be looking on there now, but I would absolutely hook in with his high school golf coach.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call, Mark. And let's go next to Joe from De Pere. Hi, Joe.
Ah, good morning. When I got out of service 30 years ago, I went to school on the GI Bill. My first GI Bill check covered the tuition, and that check at that time was $311.
Oh, my.
And I went to Oshkosh, and so every month, you know, anything else was just to live on. How are people doing it today? What is the tuition, and what in the world has gone wrong where only the wealthy can afford school now?
Well, I can tell you what the tuition is at Whitewater, what it was this past year. We don't know what the tuition is going to be yet for fall. The state hasn't come out with that yet. But for a full-time resident student, this year it was $2,783.
A semester.
A semester. That is correct. And just to give you an idea of room and board, a double room per semester this year at Whitewater is $1,288. And a food plan for the semester would have cost you a little bit more than probably about $850.
That's insanity.
So I agree with you that tuition has risen all over the country, and everyone is trying to determine how did this happen and when is it going to stop.
Yeah, but you got to admit it would be fair to charge a little more than $311.
Oh yes, oh yes.
You could get a car back then too for $1,000 and a pretty nice one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think everything has gone up, and it does. You know, I'm not an expert on how education is funded on a public scale, but you know, it just there's a lot of discussion on it. You know, why things are exceeding high. In Madison, we're going to expect about in-state for the academic year for the two-semester period about $7,000 or $3,500, depending on what the regions go. And part of it, you know, some people are pointing the finger. The state's not supplying the system schools with, you know, the same resources it used to. We used to get something like 65% of the total budget at the Madison campus was from the state. Now we're down to about 13%. So it's, you know, the supply has changed. The supply lines have changed. And I'm not an economist. I can't really address the why.
But you said that you're the second best bargain in the Big Ten, right?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yep, we're still. Our total cost would be $18,000 next year for an in-state student. Iowa is the only school less expensive.
Hmm. Yeah,
I would just like to comment on the GI Bill part of it.
Sure.
Our students are still getting GI Bill and considerably more than $311, of course. And the state came out, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, with a certain percentage of free tuition for our returning vets. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding that coming fall that they're going to be paying 100% of the tuition.
Hmm. Thanks very much for the call. You really do, if you can save just a little bit, you really need to get this in your head to start it when your children are born, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
It's the old miracle of compounding interest that, you know, people talk about. And there's 529 plans that people can start that are state, you know, official. The state of Wisconsin has one called EdVest. You don't have to use the state of Wisconsin one. There's tax reasons why it might be helpful, but it's not always the best deal, or could be the best deal. But there's lots of investment opportunities and just saving. And we do hear from folks, I'm sure, Carol, you have too, you know, why should I save? It only hurts my kids' financial aid.
Yes.
You know, that you're just always better off having a bird in the hand. You just are. And it's students who receive need-based grants like Pell Grants, which is the old basic grant for those of us who have been around the block for a while. You have to be pretty poor to get those, and I wouldn't want to change places with someone who was Pell Grant eligible just because they got some free money.
Right.
As a rule, they're pretty poor.
Yeah. More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about how much it costs to go to college and financial aid that is available. Joining us, Susan Fisher, Director of Financial Aid at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Carol Miller, Director of Financial Aid at UW-Whitewater. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to phone calls now, and to Gary from Madison next. Hello, Gary.
Hi. I kind of wish I would have heard this program a year ago, but my son just graduated from high school. He graduated with a class of over 400 students, and he was the vice president of his class for the last 3 years. He went to Badger Boys State last summer, and he's got about a 3.6 GPA. Is there anything that will that help him in any way at this point? He's going to Eau Claire in the fall.
It's a great question to ask Eau Claire.
Right.
I mean, every school's resources are just different enough that I wouldn't venture a guess. Carol, do you know anything?
I would, from what I can remember regarding Eau Claire, I believe that they have quite a bit in scholarships for new freshmen. If memory serves me correctly, I certainly would contact them, you know, regarding scholarships.
Right. The only problem being that I see is that it's so late.
Yeah.
Right.
He's graduated already, and they may have had enough applicants to completely take all the funds. But then again, if he keeps that up, you know, the part of why I think some departments and schools hold back for, you know, instead of new freshmen is, you know, you did great in high school, but now you're in a different pool. You're a smaller fish in a bigger pool. How are you going to do in the competition? How will you compete with your peers on this level? And if you do well on that level, you know, then we might be willing to compensate for your, you know, on a merit basis.
Well, we're.
But I would get a hold of Eau Claire. I really would.
Well, we're going up there tomorrow, so I guess I'll stop in the
very
financial
good.
Aid
you
office.
Stop in the financial aid office.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, thank Gary. You. Let's go to Michael next from Sauk City. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I'm currently at the School of Education at the UW Madison here, and I'm doing my student teaching, and something that I've been telling my junior high students as well as my high school students, and something that I'm sure I'll continue to share as I continue my career as a teacher, is to tell students that that know that their parents can't afford to send them to school. They know that they're from very shaky financial backgrounds. And maybe even they're not even that good of students where they think that they're ever going to be able to get into college. But I always tell them that just because your parents can't afford to send you to school, that actually, if you're poor, and I'm putting that in quotes, but you stand an improved chance of getting financial aid, getting loans through FAFSA. And I know that that's not really good financial advice, but it's, I think, very encouraging for students that think that because they come from poverty backgrounds that they're never going to get into college, so they don't bother. So I think it's important for educators and for guidance counselors, any of the constituents involved, to tell students from poorer backgrounds not to be too discouraged, to be positive that there is money out there to get them into college.
Mm.
And that was my only comment.
All right, Michael, thanks for the call. Susan, your comments?
Oh, I love it. I did a talk this year with a group of middle school parents, and I think middle school is where we have to, as a profession, start talking to parents with kids in the middle school. And, Michael, I advocates like you are just so important. I think that students, we tell them, don't assume you're going to get aid. Don't assume you're not going to get aid. You really can't assume anything, you know, with a complicated system that we have, and you can't assume 6 years ahead what it's going to be. I think students getting encouragement to keep going, do the best they can, and some type of funding will be available to go to some school. It may not be the school of your dreams, but it, you know, getting that degree is so key to their financial success later in life that I think it's going to take all of us, and I'm just so pleased that there are folks like Michael out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, and I think, too, that students and parents should keep in mind that if you really are from a poor, disadvantaged background, there are many, many grants out there, which a lot of our students are paying for their total college education, let's say, just on grants and very few loans. But that is not a typical student, but that is from a student from a poor, disadvantaged background.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to Jay from Appleton. Hi, Jay.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Jay?
I'm good, thanks. I guess what I want to touch on is self-discipline. And by that I mean with first-generation college graduates who, myself, I was a recipient of a Pell Grant and Stratford loans as well. And once we had ours paid off, my wife and I, we had our first child the same month we paid off our last loan. So instead of saying, well, now we have enough money to go and buy a nice car or whatever it is, we said, well, let's just take the same amount and put it into 529.
Excellent.
So we have a 4-year-old now and a 1-year-old, and I guess our formula has been, it's been $10,000 a year for each one of them. We're going to pay it now. And we probably won't have to pay it for very much longer, and just let it sit and watch it grow. And when the time comes,
good for you.
You have the discipline, but it's difficult because if you've graduated and you've gone on to get a better job, and if you came from circumstances that weren't financially all that well, it's tough to say, well, no, I'm not going to go and buy that nice car or buy the bigger house. I'm going to save for my children's education.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a lot of self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And I am an Eau Claire grad, too, so I guess to go back to your previous caller, the great school. Go Blue Golds.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. You know, you listen to that and you wonder how many people do just that. It seems so admirable. In the way to go, right? Get it. Watch it grow. Watch the money grow.
Absolutely.
Certainly is.
Yeah. Robin is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Robin.
Hi. excuse me. I'm a returning student. I just graduated this past May. I need to go to school to continue for my master's in order to work in my chosen field. And I'm wondering if there are scholarships for grad school, and I also have a couple other situations that might maybe be a method of getting more financial aid. I'm not sure, but I have dyslexia, and I also graduated summa cum laude, and I'm just wondering if there's anything you could help me with this.
At Madison, most of the graduate aid, whether it's for master's or PhD, are awarded through the departments and often in the form of a teaching assistantship or project assistantship or research assistantship. They're a little tough to get, not impossible, but you'd want to hook into whatever department of whatever university you're thinking of attending as early as possible to see what the odds of getting those assistantships are. As far as actual just scholarships, again, I would direct you to FastWeb because it's not just for undergrads. There's a place there where you can go, you know, say you're pursuing graduate study because there are some, you know, sources of assistance out there for graduates, but not as many in the private sector as there are for undergrads. I'd say the majority of, on this campus anyway, of free money is going to be coming from your department.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the same for Whitewater. We don't offer much at all in the form of scholarships for graduate students. But as Susan indicated, assistantships seem to be very popular among grad students. And I would say here, if you are going to get an assistantship, you should apply for those well in advance because they are limited. The state, you can only have, you know, so many. Another program that's out there, and I'm not sure, you know, who might fall into it, but for graduate students, the Advanced Opportunity Program, that would be grant money given to either minority and or disadvantaged graduate students. So that would be something that somebody may want to check into.
The Advanced Opportunity Program?
Advanced Opportunity Program.
Okay.
For either minority students or disadvantaged students. And sometimes disadvantaged students, I know here on our campus, one of the things that they look at is first-generation student.
Hmm. All right, Robin, thanks so much for your call. Let's go next to Tim from Westby. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Thank you very much, Kathleen. Nice program. Say, I have three daughters. What I've told them all is that having had an unsuccessful college campaign myself and my wife having graduated, a proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I look back on some of my struggles in college relating to financing, and I kind of got caught up with how am I going to pay for this and work, and it ended up, I think, being part of the reason why I didn't finish school. You know, went on to be somewhat successful, but kind of regretted not finishing. But so what I've told my girls is that mom and dad are going to help you pay for all completed degree work. So when you've completed your college education, whether it's a two-year associate degree at a tech school or going to the University of Wisconsin, then we'll look at your debt and figure a way to work it together. Now, because it's your education and it's your now, obviously, we have to get to explore all aid opportunities to all of our benefit, but it's your education, and you need to take ownership of it as opposed to me throwing, hey, I've got, daddy's got school paid for you, because I don't want that level of resentment that, hey, I just invested X number of thousands in my little girl who then squandered her college opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I both feel bad for her and her future and having been burned by, you know, by a family member who didn't see it as the opportunity I did.
Right. All right.
What are your, and I guess my concern is, taking that approach, I guess my concern is that attitude could that possibly affect the financial aid opportunity.
Okay, we're almost out of time. About 20 seconds. Susan, you want to take that one?
Yeah, they probably can't do without your help up front. They're not going to probably receive enough aid to pay for a full year.
Mm.
I would suggest a hybrid. Do it year by year. If you successfully complete, we'll consider paying for your tuition. You take care of the rest or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to give us websites before we say so long, Carol?
I don't have them right at the tip of my tongue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all right.
Okay, so let me give you one. www.fafsa, F-A-F-S-A, the number 4, caster, C-A-S-T-E-R, it's all one word, .ed.gov/. That's where you can go and do the FAFSA on the web. Is also the forecaster.
Okay, great. And if you Google University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, UW-Madison, you'll get much more information as well. Carol Miller, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And also, thank you, Susan Fisher.
My pleasure.
Carol, the Director of Financial Aid at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Susan Fisher, Director of Financial Aid at UW-Madison. Thanks to Sharome Owens and Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. And thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. A reminder, Judy Collins is with us the second hour, this hour of our show tomorrow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.